Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today. This podcast is ranked in the top 2% of the most popular podcasts globally. And honestly, it's because of my guests. They are phenomenal. In today's episode, we are unlocking sales success with my guest, Larry Levine, who is a prominent figure in the sales industry, and he is known for his innovative approach to building trust and authenticity in sales practices. He's the best-selling author of two influential books, Selling from the Heart and Selling from a Post-Trust World. And with over 30 years of experience in sales, Larry has transitioned from a successful sales representative to a thought leader and a coach. And his career has been particularly focused on B2B sales, especially within the technology and office solutions sectors. And this extensive background has equipped him with deep insights into the challenges faced by modern sales professionals. And let's face it, we're everywhere. If you think you're not in sales, watch a three-year-old. That kid is going to get whatever he wants. We're all in sales. So good morning, Larry, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. And thank you for sending your books to me. And I have to tell you, I admit, cynic that I am, I read Selling in a Post-Trust World first. So
I've okay, got so him. Okay, so inquiring minds want to know, Denise. By the way, thank you for having me on. We're gonna have a great time together. But inquiring minds got to know, Denise, how'd you pick Selling in a Post-Trust World to read first?
Post-Trust. That's all I needed to see.
Yeah, it's so good.
I mean, it's in the middle of the Selling in and then Post-Trust World. So it's, you know, in the middle of the three lines. That's all I saw.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to trust anything or anybody these days. It really is.
And you know what? It's so unfortunate because without trust, we know things slow down. With trust, things speed up. With trust, you have really deep, meaningful relationships. Without trust, it's hard to build those relationships. And it's just so interesting. And it's just unfortunate. It doesn't have to be this way. But unfortunately, it's been like this for as long as I can remember. We live in a world where, unfortunately, no one really trusts anybody. And that's, and especially in sales, that's what I'm slapping up on the business table, is we got to build trust, and we got to build trust as fast as possible.
And you have to build connections. And I think this is something that a lot of salespeople, you know, they're faced with. You know, you have to make this many sales. They have a lot of stuff going on in the background. But if you haven't built a connection with me in the first 5 minutes or the first 10 months, whatever it takes, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of my attention. My attention is valuable, and I'm not going to squander it.
No, I agree. And I'm glad you brought up this connection, the connection word, because you got to connect to somebody in order to build trust. And I remember this goes back, it was last calendar year, I want to say towards the end of the year. So we're tracking probably somewhere in December. We had a gentleman on the Selling from the Heart podcast, and he's a professor at the Kellogg School of Business. He's done TED Talks around trust. The guy lives, eats, and breathes and sleeps trust. And in the middle of our podcast, through his research, he said this. He goes, in a conversation that you have with somebody, this is like that very first conversation that you have 3 minutes to build trust with somebody. And I go, that's interesting. And it goes back to connect. Use one word that's really near and dear to me is connect. The other one's relate. I believe that we need to be able to connect to somebody as quick as possible and relate to these people as quick as possible. If I wrote back in the building trust in the first 3 minutes, he goes on to say this, it doesn't mean that you cannot build trust after 3 minutes. It's just you're constantly swimming upstream to do this. And what I want us all to be really hyper aware of is sometimes we're even building trust before that ever we ever have that first conversation. And now I'm a sales geek at heart, so I want us to think through this just for a moment. When I say building trust before we ever meet someone or talk to somebody, think about your outreach. Think about all the voicemail messages that you leave somebody. Think about all the emails that you leave somebody. In a social world that we live in now, think about all the interactions you may have with somebody on LinkedIn or Facebook or anything like that before you actually ever engage in a real life conversation with these people. They're forming all of this in the back of their head before they even engage with you. That's why I believe these first 3 minutes are mission critical.
And I will constantly tell people, because as you know, I'm a web developer, and they'll say, oh, Denise, I want this and that. You want me to copy somebody else's website? No. Who are you and what do you bring to the table? And they haven't given that any thought, because authenticity to them is not really part of what they're offering. And once I say, listen, we need to talk. You need to tell me who you are, what people can expect from you, and really, honestly, how do you help them? It doesn't matter if you think you're in a sales professional or not. If you're a coach or a mentor, or you're selling 14 dozen widgets, people need to trust you. They have to like you. They have to, you know, respond to you in a positive way until you, or unless you say, well, you really can't trust me. But you're right. I mean, we're watching, we're being watched. And I will constantly tell people, if your social media is all over the place and you're doing some pretty ugly things over here, but you're saying, oh, I'm really a great coach. We all have great spidey sense, as far as I'm concerned. We pick that up.
Hey, you know, I'm glad that you just used the word spidey senses, because I always say we have this sixth sense. Scientifically prove it, but there's a sixth sense, Denise, and that sixth sense is BS. And people sense this. People sense it really fast.
We do.
Really fast.
And honestly, and I had a conversation with somebody the other day where we were talking. So, you know, when somebody's telling you a porky pie, that's what they say. It's a porker. You know? When you know you're just being snowed, I don't know about you, but before I hear the final word in that sentence, I've already clutched my stomach. Yeah. I know there's something wrong. So our body can often tell us, you're talking about that sixth sense, our body can often warn us before our brain goes, oh, no, uh-uh.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's really interesting about this? I got to go back to this connection. And I want to touch on this, because how you show up, I'm going to tie this all in together. But I think you're going to agree with me, based on you being a web developer as well, is inside selling in a post-trust world. When we get to the inspirational experience part of this, I kind of throw down the hammer on this and I say, you know what? Y'all are responsible for how you show up. It's not your company's responsibility. It's not your manager's responsibility if you're in an environment like that. It's your responsibility for how you show up. Here's the thing. If you want to connect to people, and I know we all do, and I mean really connect, that's R-E-A-L-L-Y, capital really, underscore, throw it in a color. If we're really connecting with somebody, we got to think about how are we all showing up. And in this world we live in today, how we show up means, how are we showing up in our messaging via email? How are we showing up if we leave somebody a voicemail message? How are we showing up on a virtual call, whether that be Teams or whether that be Zoom? How are we showing up on all these other social media platforms? And how are we engaging on these? Because I do know this, and I'd be curious your thoughts on this, Denise. People are watching you, whether you believe it or not. And there's those people out there, and you never know. I've engaged in some of the coolest conversations, and somebody will say, you know something, Larry? I've been following you for 6, 7, 8 months now. Mm-hmm. And you just never know who's watching you. That's why I encourage everyone, regardless of what position you're in, if you're a solo entrepreneur, you're in sales, you're in leadership, it doesn't matter. In this day and age, you got to be hyper aware of how you're carrying yourself and how you're showing up.
You said something that just had me go, uh-huh. Listen, my podcast is 16 years old. She's old enough to drive. The odd thing about my podcast is that I am a highly committed introvert. And as you've noted, I'm not shy. I don't have any filters, but I'm an introvert. There are no pictures of me on the internet. There never have been. There never will be. So I communicate with my voice, with my words. And I honestly, because I'm an introvert and, I open the door to let, Walmart bring the groceries, but that's about it.
Interesting.
And I will often hear people say, I had no idea. But this is what gets me. And you said something that just had me go, I will have people say, oh, listen, I've been listening to you forever. When I do my pre-interview, I'll say, well, how did you find me? Oh, I've been listening to you since 2000. What? What?
Yeah.
I think I'm invisible. I'm not.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't shake me up every once in a while, I'm like, oh, maybe I should behave today.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting whether, I mean, I'm, so here's what's interesting is I'm the complete opposite. You could probably already tell I'm just a massive extrovert.
Yeah. Oh, I
massive,
can be.
Massive off the scale, Denise, off the freaking scale.
I can only do 59 and three quarter minutes. I've timed it. So, keep going.
But it's interesting because my podcast partner Daryl Amey is a massive introvert. He's kind of like a quasi, I'd say he's like quasi introvert extrovert, but it's just so interesting because sometimes we'll travel together and we'll do workshops together, and like when we walk into a room, I'm already scoping out where I'm going and all of this, and I'm having conversations and I'm ping-ponging all over the place, and he'll enter into some conversations. I'll look at the, I'll look at my phone just to get what time it is because I don't wear a watch, and I'm going, okay, in about 30 more minutes, Daryl's exit stage right out of here because he's had enough of this already, and he's going to either go back to the hotel room or he's going to go back into a corner somewhere and just be by himself, and I'm just a social butterfly. And I think this is why I'm bringing, in Selling from the Heart and selling in a post-trust world, I bring out the authentic relationships part of this, is I just saw this play out so much in sales, is I thrive on relationships. I live, eat, and breathe, and sleep relationships, but I unpack what relationships really mean. And I do this because I understand my authentic self. I understand what lights my fire. I understand what, brings me joy. I understand all of this. And it's really digging into relationships, whether that be personal or professional. So I'd ask all your listeners, when you start thinking about relationships, and I'm going to throw the gauntlet down on this one, is the relationships that you think you have, are those the relationships that the other person believes that relationship really is? And I want us to really think through that because
I'm going to say no, almost never.
Denise, what? And it's interesting behind all of this. Because I mean, if you allow me, I'm going to make this sales centric for just a moment, but I always ask, key executives, sales leaders and salespeople always say, hey, I'll just humor me for a moment. I'll say, hey, listen, how many in this room believe relationships matter? Do your client relationships matter? Everybody always resoundingly says, yes, relationships matter. I go, okay, then do the relationships you believe you have with your clients, is that what your clients believe the relationship is? And you should see, Denise, the looks on people's faces. They're like going, where are you going with this? And I go, hey, listen, I'm not here to disrespect anybody in this room, none whatsoever. Or if I speak out in the audience. But what I want us to clearly understand is, do you have what I call relational alignment? The relationships that you have, is that what your clients believe that relationship is? If not, y'all got some homework y'all need to do.
I actually am thinking, but I don't want to say what I'm thinking. So we can talk about it later. But the thing is...
But
I'm being
you know what, Denise, and I'm glad that we're kind of going down this road a little bit, because I'm just a massive believer. Relationships are at the forefront of everything. And in selling in a post-trust world, I refer to this as sales sustainability. And if you're not in sales listening to this, you can just, you can eliminate the word sales and just call this sustainability, call it relational sustainability. You got to really unpack all of this stuff. Because we all know that relationships drive business.
They do, but they also have to be nurtured and tweaked. You can't just say, oh,
100%.
I've got a relationship with this person. Okay, what was the last time you did business? When was the last time you spoke? I was checking in on my friends and colleagues in Florida yesterday. That's relational, but how relational is it?
No,
I mean, seriously.
it is, and that let's just call this I'll call this surface level, and this is just my belief, and this is just based on a ton of observation. There's a lot of surface level relationships, and I think this is where salespeople latch on to, well, I got a strong relationship because they buy something from me, or they've continued to buy something from me. Maybe they just tolerate you because they haven't found anybody else out there that give them a better experience or build a better relationship. So they kind of lull them into a false sense of security. But what I really want to hone in on, and if you want to build a trusted relationship that's going to give you all sustainability, then you got to crawl below the surface. You got to dig, and you got to dig, and you got to dig. So just imagine, right? Grabbing a shovel because you got to plant, a tree or plant a plant. You got to dig a hole. And so you got to dig a hole way, way, way down below the relational surface. And what's really interesting about this is I coach salespeople and sales leaders, and I coach them around building authentic relationships. I give them the tools to do this and all this. Here's what just makes me freaking nervous: how little they really know about the people that they're doing business with. And I go, what do you know? And I go three
Yeah,
deep.
I was
I go
going to
three
ask you
deep,
about that.
Denise. And I go, what are three things you know about these people personally? What are three things you know about these people professionally? Then I'll take this one step farther. What are their goals, dreams, aspirations? Where do they see themselves 6 months from now, a year from now? What are their struggles right now? What do they need to overcome? And Denise, I hear crickets.
I know. If you haven't taken the time as a salesperson or a sales professional to really exchange Christmas cards, get to the point where you're friendly enough and you're integrated enough with each other that Christmas cards, birthday cards, I mean, you're part of the family. Listen, I interview people from all over the world. I've got hundreds of books in here. I have stayed in touch with many of them. Many of them. Have I ever met them? No, but I know a lot about them and they know a lot about me. And I know who to introduce them to when it comes time to say, hey, I know some other podcast hosts that would love to have you. You have to have that information either on a mental Rolodex or just as part of how you operate, but you need to know your people. And you're right, it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And I remember this was just a couple of weeks ago. I'm coaching this team, and I like coaching in small cohorts. So I like coaching in cohorts of, group sizes of like 10 to 12, because I do a lot of this virtually and no one gets lost in the background. When you coach 20 and 30 people at a time, people get lost back there in the screens and they hide out. But when it's a small group, it becomes intimate. I remember asking this question, and I'm a big believer that Pareto's principle is alive and well. It's the 80-20 rule. And where I'm going with this is I believe that if you look at, inside of an organization, it's usually 20% of the company, 20% of your clients are driving 80% of your revenue. 20% of your salespeople are driving 80% of the revenue. This is all, it all plays out. The numbers play out. So on this call, I had all these groups of salespeople on the call with their managers, Denise. And I said, I want you to conjure up, right, 20% of your customers right now. And I knew that each one of these salespeople has about 30 some odd current customers. So 20% is six. So I said, I want you to think of the six customers that are giving you 80% of your business right now. And I want you all to put your thinking caps on. And I had them stop, right? You got your thinking caps on. Of all six of those customers, how many of you on this call right now know their goals, objectives, and initiatives for the next 90 days inside that company? I said, I'm going to stop until somebody says something. Hey, Denise, there was complete freaking silence.
Did you have time to go to lunch and then come back and see if they'd come up with anything?
Interesting, isn't it? But yeah. I'm sharing this because this is what concerns me. This is what, especially in sales, this is sales centric for just a moment. Sellers, if you want to build relational strength, if you want to drive incremental profit, if you want to increase revenues, if you want to increase referrals, if you want to create sustainability, it's as simple as getting to know what are the challenges, the initiatives, what are the things that these key decision makers and influencers, what are they working on? And then it's up to you to help them achieve these. But it just scares me how few understand this, but yet they say they have great relationships, but they really can't define what the relationship is anyway. But they really got great relationships just because they do the so-called check-in, follow-up, touch base, which is so outdated. They get a warm smile. They ask them if everything's going good, and they say, oh yeah, everything's fine. And then to me, when they say everything's fine, is that's just like code for just don't bother me because you're not bringing any value. I'm just tolerating you.
Divorce. Seriously, when you hear a woman say, fine, it's just fine. Get out of the way. You're in trouble.
I've said this. I've written about this. This is why I believe in the trust formula. Y'all got to bring meaningful value. And if you want to build relational strength, you got to bring meaningful value. And meaningful value in a business context is you got to bring ideas to the forefront. You got to continually be educating your customers. You got to bring them insights. You got to help them cast vision. You gotta really understand where they want to be in a year from now. And by the way, they may not know depending on the size of the company you're working with and so forth. Sometimes I get that. But guess what? It's up to you to help them cast that vision based on what you know. But if you don't do any of that, and all you do are these routine checkups, these routine follow-ups, whoever's listening to this right now, y'all get where I'm going with this because we've all been guilty of it. I'll raise my hand and say, I've been guilty of it as well. Don't be surprised when you send that message or you pick up the phone and you call or you happen to go visit them if it's an environment where you can go visit them. And you go, Denise, I'm using your name, but you don't have to answer. Hey, Denise, how's it going? Right? Just wanted to make sure we're doing everything okay. Anything I can do for you? Again, this is silly, simple stuff, but it plays out on a daily basis. And then Denise tells Larry, you know what? Everything's just fine. You know what? We're good, right? You don't need to come around for a little bit. We got everything under control. That's code for saying, I got some work to do, and Denise has been polite, and I need to be smart enough to figure it out, right, Denise?
You really do. And, you know, here's the thing, and I'm on page 54, and so I'm still back in selling in a post-trust world. And I love this book. I do. They're both books, but this one's mine. This is my favorite. But this is what we're talking about, how to start creating value. And you say that building strong relationships and understanding holistically what value means lays the foundation for becoming valuable. And here's the three types of value: internal, client, and company value. Yep. So let's go into that a little bit, if you don't mind.
So, here's what's interesting. I'm gonna key on all of this, and we can dive real deep into this. But what's one of the exercises I have people do when they're working with their clients is just to really understand value. And again, we've been talking about hey, has the relationship looked the same? Well, now here's why we're going to flip this into meaningful value and we'll really peel this back is salespeople believe they're really being valuable, but yet most of your customers and clients don't believe you're being valuable. It goes back to this whole relationship thing. So I always ask salespeople, and this is where you got to get vulnerable. And a lot of salespeople don't want to do this because they really don't want to hear the truth. And I want salespeople to sit in front of their customers. They can't do this via email. They really can't because it loses the touch. And it's simple understanding what value is. And it's asking them, right, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, in terms of value, how would you define it? What's value look like to you? And over the last 90 days, can you describe the value that I've been bringing to you and your organization? And then you got to pause and you can't say a word. And by the way, if they don't say a word, then I think you already know what your answer is. You haven't been bringing any. But if you have been bringing any, they're going to tell you within 2 seconds what you've been bringing to the table. So I really want people to understand values. It's the age-old saying, value's in the eye of the beholder. It's not what you believe value is. It's what they believe value is. And you have to be able to unpack this. And you got to be able to go down those places to uncover what value is. And in selling in a post-trust world, and you kind of, you alluded to it on that page, is we got to create what I call value alignment. And here's where I'm going with this. And I go deep into this in the book, is I want us to think through your values. What are your set of values? And this is why I believe the inner work, and I touch on it in Selling from the Heart as well, is you got to understand your values. At the core, what do you value? And I want you to marry that up with what your customers value. And here's why this is so important. And we've all been down this road before. I have as well. I want all the listeners out here to think about all the customers that they've had over time that have been nightmarish, however they want to define it. Those bad customers, the ones that we wish that we wouldn't have brought into the company. Do you think if your values would have aligned, you'd be a lot happier? I think most situations between sellers and customers are because the values aren't aligned. You had a really bad funnel, so you brought somebody in knowing that probably somewhere down the road, it wouldn't be the right move, but y'all needed to make a sale. And so when I start thinking about customer strength, I look at it as, does your values, whatever you stand for, care, commitment, trust, moral character, integrity. Do your clients have that same? Does the individual you have the same? If not, then you have the ability to course correct it. So that's what I talk about, in terms of internal value. You got to understand what your internal value is and how you find it out from somebody else. It's quite simple. A, you can either ask, you can kind of share what your values are and ask for them to share theirs, or you can simply just start following these people and unpack what they put out on social. You can sure find out that way. And then we'll take this one step farther. Once you understand your value, your client's value, now marry in company value. And I want harmony in all of this. And I will tell you this, Denise, is every single client that we have at Selling from the Heart, our internal values match theirs. Our company values match theirs. And we get deep really fast and we're able to together make a huge difference. And I remember this is about a year and a half or so ago. We had one customer where over time our values just started to get disconnected. So we disconnected. I actually gave them their money back. How many people do that?
I fired somebody after 2 months and I said, here you go.
Yeah.
We can't do this. I cannot work with you. I can, I'm happy to refer you to someone else, but I'm not your person.
Yeah. And it's this is something, the things that we're talking about right now, I encourage people to really go deep with this. I understand y'all want to build relationships. but you got to bring some meaningful value to this. And you got to understand what's valuable to them. And then you all have to be in alignment. Is this going to take a lot of time? It really doesn't take a lot of time, but I'm a massive believer. If you can slow things down for just a little bit, you'll actually speed things up. I would much rather know up front we're not in alignment and agree to part ways than agree to agree and then find out somewhere in the middle of all of this, we fall out of alignment and then a big divorce happens.
Been using the word value quite a bit, and every time you I don't know why I do this, I take notes during each conversation, and every time you say value, I write underneath it principles. Why am I doing that?
Here's something to think about. I want to play on this principles for a moment.
Okay.
How many people, and I'd just be curious your thoughts on this. I mean, I got mine on this, and it's going to be very few. That's going to be the answer, Denise. But I don't see that many people that really unpack what their values are, what are their principles, and are they willing to hold themselves accountable to all of it? And very few, there's people out there that do this, but there's very few that will actually hold themselves accountable to their set of values. And when they're engaging with somebody, really unpacking this, going, you know what? Are we like simpatico with this, you know, between each other? And if not, that's okay, right? We can be friends. We don't have to do business together. But not enough people are going down the road of bringing their values and their principles to business and holding themselves accountable to integrate this in the day in the life of what they do. This is my thought.
And I'm thinking about that as I was talking with my co-host, Bengay III. You know, he was the final mentee of Dr. Napoleon Hill. And
hey, by the way, Denise, he's been on my podcast.
I love Ben. He's one of my favorite people. Oh. I've got five favorite people in the world. He's, you know, he bounces between one and two. Just depends on the day. So he knows. But we were talking, we were, you know, working in one of his books, and we were talking about Ross Perot. Uh-huh. And that was a man of huge principle. Huge. Yeah. And I'm thinking we've gotten a little bit too flexible as humans with our principles. What do you think?
You know, it's, I would say, I'm going to answer this way. I'm going to give you my younger version answer. I'm going to give you my older version answer. My younger version answer.
I'm going to write them both down and we're going to talk about it.
So my younger version of your comment would say, I was probably more flexible with it in my younger days than I am right now. I'm way more rigid with this now. And I think I was more flexible with it in my younger days because I really didn't know who I was. And I'm not saying this in a really silly, I just really didn't know. I was very successful in sales, but yet I was talking to everybody and I was just trying to make it work. And for some reason it worked. But over the last decade, in my 50s, and I'll be 60 here in a couple months. So I'd say in this decade, in my 50s, I've become way more rigid. I mean, I've become way more strict with, I really want and I crave people in my life that share the same values, that share the same characteristics. And I'm not as flexible with it now as I used to be. And that means that I've had to disconnect from people, literally, like disconnect from people. Whether that be socially disconnect, which is easy. But the other flip side of this is I've had to disconnect from some people in my social circles just because there's too much work. It's too much work to be flexible. I'd much rather just have people in my life that share the same values, that share the same characteristics, that are rowing in the same direction with me than to try to fight people who aren't rowing in the right direction. I don't know. That's my answer. I'm sticking to it, Denise.
I agree with you. Listen, when I was, 17, 18, 19 years old, I'm surprised that I am still alive. I was so arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was such a punk.
Yeah.
And I stayed that way for longer than I
Yeah.
should
Yeah.
have. But I wanted to go to chapter two, and thank you for sharing that because it was all gold as far as I was concerned. Chapter two is called Being Real with Yourself. And I honestly
Yeah.
think
Yeah.
that if we're in sales, if we're in any kind of sales, it doesn't matter if you're negotiating, prices at the farmer's market. It doesn't matter. You're selling something or you're trying to sell something or negotiate something. That's just how we operate as humans. But if you don't know who you are and how you show up in the world and what you bring to the table, I don't know where you're going to go from there. So you have to be willing, in my opinion, to do some serious self-reflection at least once a day. I mean, often as you can. I will ask myself, honestly, is that real? Is that really real? Huh, let me think about that.
Yep.
Instead of popping up the way I used to do, I would just pop something out and go, here you go. Turned out it wasn't even close to real. That's not good.
No, it's in chapter two is really good. How many people really understand who they are? Because how many people really want to go there?
Well, it's hard. It's difficult.
I get it, yeah. Denise. It's totally hard. But I'm going to tell you this. If however you all want to define this, however you want to define outer success, if you want to have even greater levels of outer success, you got to be willing to go inward. And I'm harder on myself than anybody. I'm massively hard on myself. But I do it for a reason. I don't do it because, oh man, I just love beating myself up. I do it because I constantly crave to improve myself. And maybe, that's how I was raised. But I'm like, oh man, especially if you're in sales, you're always going to want to do better, next year than you did this year. At least I hope so. And in order for you to do that, you gotta be willing to ask yourself tough questions. And in that chapter, I remember saying, man, if you can't ask yourself tough questions, if you can't be real with yourself, guess what? You can't do that out in the business world. And if you think you can, you're lying to yourself because you can't. If you cannot look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself tough questions about yourself and what you need to do, mark my word, you'll never be able to sit down in front of a key decision maker, key influencer, an executive, and ask that person tough questions because you'll be intimidated because you're not asking yourself any of those.
Career politician. That's all that's left for you. Okay, I wanted to ask you to talk about, and I'm just being mildly sarcastic. I don't trust politicians. Ever. Never have. Never will. Let's talk about, I think they're crooks, but let's talk about the trust formula, because that's, in both of these books, I think, you introduce the trust formula. It's trademarked, which guides sales professionals in creating authentic, there it is again, authentic relationship, communicating meaningful value, and delivering inspirational experiences. And we've talked just a little bit about inspirational experiences, but unpack the trust formula for me, if you would.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. Let me just give you the origin around it. And I remember this goes back, probably 3.5 years ago. I was sitting with my business coach, and Daryl Amy was there as my podcast partner. And our business mentor, which is my business coach's business mentor, was there. And we were all just sitting there having dinner, which carried on after dinner to a big, lengthy conversation. And this person, and they both just threw a cold glass of water in our face. And they said, hey, listen, when y'all can figure out what you're going to do with selling from the heart and all the great assets you have, until you can figure all this out, you're going to have a great lifestyle brand, right? And you guys are doing well, but you're going to have to do really well. what you need to be able to figure out is how you can look an executive in the eye and say, if your salespeople, if the members of your team integrate selling from the heart into what they do, the outcomes will be this. And at that point in time, Denise, full transparency, we were struggling to answer this. We had a successful podcast. We had a great business. We were doing coaching. We were doing training. But we couldn't really answer that question if an executive answered it. Again, full transparency. So my business coach and business mentor says, hey, listen, if somebody reads Selling from the Heart, so now I'm pointing everyone back to book one. If somebody reads and implements Selling from the Heart, what's this going to help them do? Within 30 seconds, I said, build trust and credibility. Upon which my business coach and mentor says, fantastic. Now build out coaching and training around how they implement Selling from the Heart to build trust and credibility. And we kind of parted ways that night. We revisited the next morning. Fresh heads, fresh thoughts and all that. We reflected on the night. They said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, well, we'll build out coaching and training around trust and credibility. My business coach says, hey, listen, people remember things in equations. Now, my business coach used to be on the security team with Tony Robbins. So he's seen Tony Robbins in his best. And he goes, I remember, right, watching and listening to Tony Robbins and say, people remember things in equations, just how our brain works. Come up with an equation that can help people build trust and credibility. And we whiteboarded this whole thing out. And we came up with the first part of building trust is to build authentic relationships. And we got to combine this with meaningful value. So in the book, right, it's AR plus MV, authentic relationships plus meaningful value. We call that two sides of the trust coin. They go, you're onto something. But in simple math, you got to add, subtract, multiply, and all that. So we go, hey, if we're going to add something, what can we multiply it by? And the multiplication, or we call this jet fuel, is, heck, if you want to build authentic relationships and bring meaningful value, you got to bring in an experience. And we started just brainstorming this out. You got to bring in an experience like none other. Well, there's just an experience. Well, we had two letters that went for AR and MV, and you can't just put an E there. So I said, how about inspiration? And everyone goes, you're onto something. And they go, why'd you pick inspiration? And I said, because leaders, all the leaders I look up to, they inspire and influence people to see and achieve things that they don't believe they can do on their own. How about if we coach and train salespeople to bring inspirational experiences to a forefront? They go, oh, you're onto something. So now we're at the three legs of the trust formula. And they go, well, what's the last part of this? And I go, I'm a disciplined person. I'm a consistent person. And I'm massively disciplined. That's how I was raised. They go, okay, discipline. But now we can't just put the D there. Now what are we going to do? I said habits. And so DH is disciplined habits. And that's really how the whole trust formula came to be, is through my business coach and business mentor throwing a cold glass of water in my face. But then we built out the formula. And I go, then they go, now what? I go, now we're going to weave this in. So now the whole trust formula we weave in with sales companies and companies around how do they implement all of this when they prospect, how they implement all this in managing their clients, and how do they implement all of this throughout the sales process. And for 2 years, we were coaching and training and test piloting this all out and had massive success with it. And that was the inspiration behind Selling in a Post-Trust World. And it was that conversation and the trust formula that actually hockey sticked our business and catapulted the growth that we had today. And the whole point behind all this, and Denise, thank you for allowing me to share this story. I appreciate it, is sometimes in our life, we're going to get the cold glass of water thrown in our face. And rather than run from it and rather cry from it, you got to suck it up. And go, you know what? I don't know everything. Thank goodness there's people in our lives that are willing to speak up and throw the cold glass of water in our face. Because if it didn't happen back then, I don't believe the trust formula would be here. And we would have a great lifestyle brand doing real well, podcasting on Selling from the Heart without Selling in a Post-Trust World. that's kind of how this all came to be. Thanks again for allowing me to share it.
I wanted to know. I knew there was a story. I just didn't know what it was. And I was curious. And you've mentioned Daryl Amey. He's been my guest here too. I think about 3 years ago.
Pardon me?
Daryl Amey, he has been a guest here. I believe it was about 3 years ago.
That's so good. I tell you what. If it wasn't for Daryl Amey, none of this would ever be here. None of this.
Right?
So, 100%.
We had a great conversation, if I'm not mistaken, and I have his book. I just came across it a couple days ago.
Revenue Growth Engine.
That's exactly right. Right. I've got it. I've read it. I look at it frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting because my life flipped upside down at 50. And at 50, I was career adjusted. And that's the first time I've ever been let go. And it was the most humbling experience I ever had, Denise, in my whole entire life. I mean,
career
I just went
adjusted? That's what you called that?
What's that?
Career adjusted?
That's career adjusted. It's a polite way of saying I was let go.
I love it. I just wrote that.
And, you know, okay, Denise, listen, I can laugh about it now. When I was 50 years old, I wasn't laughing. I was crying my backside off, let me tell you.
Oh, my God, that's funny. It's not, but it is.
No, true. But, I mean, it's the first time it ever really happened to me. I tell you, I openly talk about it now, but because I've come to grips with it. But, yeah, all my manhood was eroded. I had to tell my wife all of this, and I felt I'd let my wife down. And I just went into this massive spiral really fast. And I remember I made one phone call, and that was to Daryl Amey. And all I called Daryl for, and I've known Daryl now decades, because I had a copier dealership here in Southern California. He did our website, and he did our marketing and all of that stuff. So I knew him. We struck up a friendship. And I called Daryl to tap his network. I just wanted to know, hey, Daryl, do you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who might be looking for a VP of sales out here in Los Angeles? That was it. That was as simple as that conversation was going to go, Denise. And it lasted freaking 3 hours. 3 freaking hours. And at the very end of the conversation, Larry goes, you know something? He goes, I think your days of being in sales is over. You don't need to be a VP of sales. You need to go back in the sales world. What you really need to do is you really need to coach and train salespeople, sales leaders, and executives on what made you so successful selling freaking copy machines in Los Angeles, highly commoditized product, and why you're so successful. And I go, dude, come on. You're kidding me. I've never publicly spoken, never started a podcast, never written an article. I sucked at being a manager.
And he did this right after you were career adjusted.
Yes, so, ma'am. Yeah,
so
yeah,
there was a bit of an argument going on in your head. I can hear it now.
Okay. So, this is so funny because I said, you think I can do all this? He goes, yeah, I think you can. And I go, well, crap. I don't have a job, right? Might as well give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, right, so be it. I go back and chase a W-2. And so, literally about 2 weeks later, I find myself speaking in front of like 400 and something people at some copier event in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that was the whole start of all of this. And pretty soon, again, you never know who's watching you. There's somebody out in the audience who was watching me, who resonated to the stories I was sharing. And this person afterwards that says, hey, Larry, can you coach and train my salespeople on what you just shared on stage? I said, yes, sir, I can. I had no freaking clue what I was going to do after this. Daryl pulls me aside. He goes, don't worry about it. I got your back. And Daryl and I built, literally, Denise, this is the inside track. Daryl and I built out coaching and training for these people, built out kind of how we'd work together on the back of a freaking napkin. And that's how this whole
thing started. Because I always thought that was, you know, an urban legend. You know, the napkin, you know, I wrote this screenplay on the back of a napkin. I did this on the back of a napkin. It's not an urban legend.
No, Denise, it's not an urban legend, because if I open one of the drawers in my office right now and I open the desk, if I opened it, I still have that freaking napkin.
You ought to frame it and stick it up above your computer monitor.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I love Daryl Amey because he saw something in me I didn't see in myself. It's just like my business coach and mentor saying, right, throwing that cold glass of water in our face years ago. Daryl believed in me before I ever believed in myself. And if it wasn't for him, none of this really starts, because right. he's the one who put the bug in my ear and said, hey, you got to do it. And then obviously Daryl and my wife have been my two biggest fans. But then, you know, together we built something really cool here. And I'm living out my why, because I believe success happens when I contribute to a greater cause. And I've just figured this out later in life that this is what I want to do. I mean, I always say the man upstairs has a reason for everything. And it's just, you know, there was a reason why I was career adjusted, right? Lightwave saying I was fired. There's a reason why all of this happened.
I'm going to use that so much. You have no idea.
Yeah, okay, Denise, when you use it, you can then think of me and then you can give me a shout out.
I will. I'm actually writing a book right now with our friend Ben Gay. I'm writing
serious.
Four. I am. I'm writing part four of The Closers.
Really?
I
tell you what,
right on
my floor.
In my book. You just oh, got in
that's
there.
So
that
good.
Is you're going in the book.
I will thank you. That means a lot. So I will tell you this right now, Denise. If I look off to my side, I got books all over the freaking place. I love reading books. I read every single day. I got all of Ben Gay's books that he sent to me because he'd come on the podcast, because he lives in Northern California, if he still does.
He does. Placerville.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm in Southern California. So I'm just south of Santa Barbara. So if I drove from my house to where he's in Placerville, it's probably, I don't know, maybe 8.5, 9, 10 hours, something like that. But I have all his books, all of them.
And I'll be writing, I'm almost through, I'm writing four. And I'm peppering, because listen, the book is about podcasting. It's about marketing.
Yeah.
It's about getting your voice heard. It's in many ways about sales, because the closers are sales documents, basically sales Bibles. And every time I'm on a podcast with somebody, I'm like, ooh, that's got to go in. It may be a quick quote. It may just be something I'll say, you know, when I was talking with, and there you are. So, yeah. And you'll get a book when it's done. I'll send you one.
Oh, hey, do me a favor. Because I know Damon Lemby's going to listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Can you
He's
do me a favor?
A book too.
Okay. Okay. Damon Lemby, I know you're going to laugh when you hear this. Denise, can I have the book before Damon does?
Yeah. Sorry, Damon. If you send me another cat book. Well, no, I can't go against my principles. Yeah, you get the book.
Ah, Damon, I gotcha.
Only because you're the most recent and the book's about ready to go to publication. But yeah, I'm excited. I was talking with Ben, you know, we have a Wednesday podcast, and he just flat told me, he said, Denise, you're going to write a book about this. And I said, yeah, I know. I've been trying to write it for 7 years. Epic
Serious.
Blank pages. He said, no, you're going to write the book. And I went, okay. Not understanding what he was saying. And I called him, you know, I always do afterwards, and said, what did you mean? He said, you're going to write The Closers part four. And I went, what? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even argue with him. So it is what it is. But, you know, people are watching you. Apparently, he trusts me to write a very important book. You have no idea what that does to my heart.
Oh, it's so good. You know, I got to tell you something. And Ben Gay would like this. Is I have this really, I really stick to my morning guns as far as what time I wake up, what I do when I wake up, and then what I read and reflect on. I do it every single day. And you're going to like this. You got to tell Ben this when you talk to him, is the very last thing I read before I journal is, I'm a big Napoleon Hill junkie. And I read, there's two things I read. Napoleon Hill's 12 Great Riches. So I read that to myself every single day. And then right when I get done reading that, I read his 16 Rungs, which is the ladder to success. I read both of those to myself every single day. Tell Ben Gay that when you talk to him.
And I listen to, I've got practically everything there is about Napoleon Hill on Audible.
Yeah.
And I'll catch myself trying to go to sleep. You know, sleeping is not one of my better skills.
Yeah.
but I will turn on Napoleon Hill or even Zig Zig somebody, and I'll listen before I'm going to sleep. So that way I wake up and go, oh, what did I miss? Well, what happened? What did I miss?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite sayings is what's forever old is forever new. And there's so much we can learn from all the greats of decades ago.
Oh yeah.
All of this stuff that they were writing about 100 plus years ago.
Or more. I like
or more.
Stoics. I'm addicted to Marcus Aurelius.
Oh yeah, 100%.
A lot of them.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll read the back of a cereal box. Don't hand me a TV remote. I won't know what to do with it. But I'll read anything. We are out of time. You know what? And I normally ask this about kind of midway, but you need to come back because we only covered part of
I'd love
book,
to. I'd be
I
honored
really
to.
Want... Okay, good. See, I do it on the radio. You can't tell me no. It's very tricky.
Hey, Denise, I wouldn't tell you no.
Want to do that. So, well, listen, before I let you go, just let people know. And thank you, Larry, for sharing your
That's my
truly
pleasure.
Inspiring journey and your insights with us. But before I reluctantly let you go, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience? And where can people connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give everyone a bit of advice that I wish I would have learned earlier on than later on in life is I've learned more in my 50s than I did in my 20s, 30s, and 40s for one simple reason. I allowed coaches into my life. And if anyone's out there who's never had a coach, never had a mentor, I'd encourage you, find one. They can change your life. They can help you remove the blinders from both sides of your eyeballs. Is find a coach who aligns to your values. You've heard Denise and I talk about values and, morals and principles and things like that. They're out there. And sometimes it's when you're least expecting one. But find a coach, seek out a mentor. They can change your life. That'd be my pearls of wisdom as we wrap this up. And then if people want to reach out and find out about what we're up to, they can just go to sellingfromtheheart.net. I'm all over LinkedIn. For those that are on LinkedIn, I'm not too hard to find. And I'll leave everyone with one last thing, because we've talked about trust here, especially in the very beginning, is if y'all want to open up your mobile phones, and I know those who have it, they know how to text. We're in this texting society. So if you text the word trust to 21,000, you'll get all kinds of goodies immediately sent to your phone that will help you understand what we're up to at Selling from the Heart.
Trust, text, trust. You tell them. Tell them again.
Yeah, text the word trust, so TRUST. Just text the word trust to 21,000. 21 and then 000.
I said that because I wrote 2,100. I'm not good. Math is not my skill either.
Oh, hey, I'm going to tell you this, Denise. I stunk at math, so.
Oh, jeez. I had a 4.0 until I hit algebra. It got really ugly then. So.
Oh, boy. We won't go down this road. That's the topic of another conversation.
Oh, it's evil. It's just evil. Okay. Well, listen, everybody, as we conclude today's really delightful conversation with Larry Levine, we've delved into the transformative power of authenticity and trust. Write that down, trust in sales. And Larry shared key principles from his book, Selling from the Heart. We'll talk about that next time. And Selling in a Post-Trust World, which we kind of covered today, highlighting how genuine relationships can drive both personal and professional growth. And remember, in an era where skepticism is prevalent, and honestly, it should be mandatory these days, there's so much that you need to understand about building trust. It's essential for sustained sales success. It's really essential for life, as far as I'm concerned. So be sure to connect with Larry through his website at sellingfromtheheart.net, where you can find valuable resources, coaching opportunities, and more about his mission to reshape the sales profession. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcasts. Why? Because your feedback helps me reach more listeners and continue providing really valuable content. So thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Larry, thank you. This was delightful.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Look forward to next time, Denise.
Me too. I'll call you.
Okay.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.